V'kasheh tinatzel min hakas. We're doing the Igeret HaRamban. And I think we did this already. And when you are saved from your anger, because of, like we said above, if you speak kol dvarecha tiyeh benachat, ta'aleh alibecha will arise on your heart, like automatically, right? Midat hanava, the midah of humility. Shehi midah tova mikol hamidot tovot. And because this is the best midah of all the midahs. Okay? We're going to explain today what hanava is. We'll try at least. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, Ekev hanava yirat Hashem. In other words, ekev, like because of hanava, will come to a person yirat Shemayim. I think there's a chazal here, why the word ekev. Ekev, if a person, right, there's a ekev we see in Rashi, but Parshas Ekev, something which a person's dash ba'akavav, thing that a person, like, treads on, mitzvahs that a person, right? Im ekev tishmun, so the person, I think it's that the chazal say also here, that if a person, you know, people step on him, and he doesn't overreact, he doesn't react to it in a way that's, right, that shows anova. Ekev anova yirat Shemayim. It means the person puts himself like an ekev, like a heel, like he's not so important. He puts himself in the background. He doesn't put himself in the front ground. He's not the most important, right? He puts himself on the side. That's anova, and through that anova will come yirat Shemayim. Maybe anova is not a function of how little we are. Another is actually a function of how big we are. You will find that the bigger a person is, the more of an anav he's able to be. We see the Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the biggest of Nevi'im, and yet he was anav mikol adam. He was the biggest anav, right? So, the Rambam says, yeah, that a person... What does it mean to be an anav? Okay, I'm not going to say this yet. Let's see first the Ramban, and then I'll explain it when I'm doing the Ramban. Uba'avu ha'anava, and because of this anava, ta'aleh libecha will come on your heart. It's like almost automatically. Midat ha'yira, the midah of fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki titena libecha tamid, because you will put on your heart always, ma'ayin bata, where did you come from? Ula'an ata holech, and where are you going? V'shata rime v'toleah b'chayecha, that you're a worm and another form of worm in your years, in your life. Af ki b'motecha, well, that's easy. Your death, that's, you know, that happens to most of us. Ulefnei mi ata atid liten din v'cheshbon, who in the future you're going to give din, judgment and cheshbon of your actions. Right, we say cheshbon is if you did an aveira, all the mitzvahs you could have done instead of those. Lifnei melech ha-kovod, in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who's melech ha-kovod, sh'neema, hinei ha-shamayim u'shmei ha-shamayim lo yikalkalucha. Af ki libot bnei adam, v'neema halo ha-shamayim v'et ha-aret anim aleinu am Hashem. In other words, the heavens and the earth won't sustain you, and not the hearts of man. Because the heavens and the earth I fill, says Hashem. In other words, all your life, whatever you do, right, and you try and fill your life with all sorts of things, it's not going to be filled. The only thing that can fill your life is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, His will. That's because that's what fills the world. We think we can fill it with a piece of schnitzel, and we can fill it with, you know, the equivalent, right? And we try filling our lives with pleasures and good things and having fun and all the different avos and toldos of having fun. They can't fill your life because the world is not full of those things. The only thing the world is full of is the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only thing the world that you can fill, be fulfilled and filled in your life is His Ratzon. And that Be'etzim is Yirat Shemayim. When a person gets to that level, when he realizes that, then what happens? Right? You think of all these things. Tirami borecha, you fear from your creator. V'tishama minachel, be careful of errors. U'midat eile, tiyeh sameh b'chalkech. And with these midas, you'll be happy in your portion. So what's he saying here? He's saying, you have to think that you're just a worm, and where you came from, where you're going. Why is he telling you, when you think those things, you know, or you're going to get depressed, or something else is going to happen to you. What's going to happen to you when a person thinks those things? What's going to happen when, huh?
The empty pleasures of life won't be as appealing.
Right. Those are there to remind you, you know, those pleasures, that's what happens. Those pleasures you're going to have in life, whatever person is a nene in this world, benefits in this world, shelo b'makom mitzvah, not in the place of a mitzvah, the worms will eat him when he dies. So that's what he's mentioning, the worms. So basically, anything, it's brought in Chazal, Balatanya speaks about it, right? But any hana that a person has, the worms when in his grave, right? That's, he has to have shlita on his basa, because the hanas, the pleasures that he got in this world, with shalom makom mitzvah. Your body is going to be the place where you're going to get resurrection. You're still connected somewhat to your body, even after death. There's certain aspects of you which remain in your body, because if it didn't remain in your body, certain spiritual sparks, so it's called hevla de gaumi, it's called the hevel, the, like some sort of breath of the bones. There's some little essence of your soul that remains with your body, that through that, and the etzim luz, and through that, you cast the resurrection of the dead. The body reforms a spiritual gulf, reforms a spiritual body, and the soul then can come and connect with it as a whole form. Yeah?
About
Gilgul? Gilgul is pure, what's it called? That's your soul. Your soul, huh?
Yeah, but then Gilgul has on this.
I told you that. We don't understand these things. It's like, you know, it's like, with different Gilgulim, say we were a Gilgul of a different person. So whose body are we going to come back to, right? It's like, it works something like this. We're the Gilgul of someone, he was a very, very big rabbi, very, very important person. We're the Gilgul of him. So we might be his hands, spiritually speaking, like his hands had to come back. The spiritual part of his hand had to be mitgalgel, and our whole soul is made out of his hand. I mean, in comparison to him, we're like a hand. So when we go back, the body goes back, we'll go back and be his hand. So we'll lose our identity, we'll be like a hand. You can't understand that. You won't have an identity. You realize that you're him. There'll be one, like, you know, like, I don't know how you could explain it so well. Let me think. When your hand pains you, your head pains. Your hand doesn't pain, your head pains. The pain you feel in your head. You with me? Your hand has everything your whole body has. It has bones, it has flesh, it has like nervous system. It has part of the brain in it, the nervous system, right? It has everything. The hand hurting means your head hurts. So you have recognition of your hand. I mean, this is my hand, I feel it. Right? And if my hand gets hurt, I feel it in my head, because it's my hand. We all know this is my hand, my leg, we feel them, right? If something scratches you, where it scratches you on your goof, no, it scratches you in your head. If you're sleeping, you don't feel anything that scratches you. Why not? If your goof scratches, it should scratch when you're sleeping, because your brain is like turned off. You with me? So the same thing, when we, our souls come back, we'll realize that this is you. You'll feel it. And the other person will realize this is part of him. And the soul will come back. We can't understand spiritual things. We'll come back. It'll be a combination of all these goofs. Like your goof will be the spiritual levush, the spiritual garment for your hand, for his hand. And his will be for the rest of his body. Yeah, just, you know, it's hard for us to fully understand it, but like a little bit. You understand? Okay, now I want to go back here. What are we saying here? What are we saying is anava? What are we saying is yira? where some are saying that we have to think about ourselves very lowly. Yeah? We're saying we have to think of ourselves lowly. Lowly. In what way lowly? Lowly in terms of when we're going to enjoy the physical world, we have to realize it's passing. It's hevel. It's nothing. It's nothing worthwhile. You know? You enjoy it, you're going to pay for it. The worms are going to eat you. As soon as you think that, it's like, you know, why a little bit of something good now for an eternity of pain or big suffering?
That's if you believe it.
Huh?
That's if you believe it.
Well, if you don't believe it, it's going to happen anyway. It's a tough life.
You're supposed to enjoy life, though.
You're supposed to enjoy life. But it depends how to enjoy life. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mesillas Yesharim says that the person was created lit'aneg, to enjoy life. So that's why everyone in the world believes, everyone, you're young, you're old, everyone's looking to enjoy life. No one's looking to suffer. No one's looking to suffer. Everyone's looking to remove his suffering from him and to enjoy life, right? You know anyone in this place who doesn't want to enjoy life? No, everyone. Mr. Yisrael just adds, lit'aneg, to enjoy your life, right? Al Hashem, on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, shehi hatanug hagadol, it's the biggest enjoyment, mikol hatanugim, from all of the enjoyments. Ve'ika ha'makom, the main place of that tanug is Olam Haba. This world we can enjoy through doing Torah and mitzvahs. What does it mean, Torah and mitzvahs? Torah and mitzvahs doesn't mean just learning Gemara and putting on tefillin. Torah and mitzvahs means living with the rotzon of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, living according to His will. And Aveira means going away from His will. So long as we live with Torah and mitzvahs, so long as we live according to His will, we're doing Torah and mitzvahs. That's the greatest enjoyment. Eating schnitzel, if we're hungry, is a mitzvah. The mitzvah is Ushma'atem et nafshotechem. Look after yourself. And you're supposed to. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu give us this goof that enjoys things? We're supposed to enjoy. But how do you enjoy? You enjoy by, it says, B'chol derachecha de'ehu. In all of His ways, in all of your ways, you should know Him. So it's a Shulchan Aruch. I think it's Kufnun Vav in Hilchus, in Or HaChaim. It's a Rabbeinu Yonah. It says, your sleeping can be a mitzvah. Your eating can be a mitzvah. Everything going to the... having a shower could be a mitzvah. Yeah, everything can be a mitzvah. Nimtza, says Rabbeinu Yonah, you know the Kodesh Baruch Hu the whole day of your life. It's your intention. If you're doing it for the right reasons, you're doing it with a kavod. Why having a shower? So you're fresh. And if you're fresh, you'll be able to learn better. You'll be able to think better. Why are you eating a good meal? So you'll be healthy. And also, you have desires. You're allowed to have desires because God created these desires. You want to have a good meal, a good, healthy, and tasty meal. Nothing wrong with it. Why? Because if you have something tasty, it gives you a little bit more energy to do other things in life. It gives you to eat something. There's a certain shalom, there's a certain peace that a person has with his goof. He feels he's satiated. He feels good about it. If you're hungry, like your goof is such a good machine, right? If you're hungry, your mind is going to be thinking about your stomach. So if you have a nice piece of cake or a nice piece of schnitzel or falafel or something good, right? You quiet it down. And when it's quiet down, your mind's more free to be thinking other thoughts. So eating becomes a mitzvah. Two people can eat the same meal. For one, he's getting to know his creator. For the other, he's just having typhus. Even if he doesn't get fat, he's eating good food. But he's eating them because he just wants to have the fun of eating. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So that's what we're saying here. We're saying, we don't say, think of yourself as a tolad. But when it comes to averas, then you think of it this way. Says it's Pirkei Avos also. Look at three things a person won't come to avera. Dam mala mala, right? Me'ayin bata ulanat olech. Rufnei ata atid itendim lecheshbon. Where you came from, where you're going, and who you're gonna. That's Pirkei Avos, right? He's saying basically Pirkei Avos. You won't come to do an Aveira. But that's not how you look. We're not creating people who are depressed. You're supposed to have life. You're supposed to want to be creative, want to do, want to search. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to enjoy things. But to do things which are wrong, then you think those things.
What's wrong?
McDonald's is
right
wrong.
Right time.
McDonald's is wrong.
Eating is not wrong at the right time.
But eating is certainly which are wrong to eat. Eating with a not good hashra is wrong. Eating milk and meat is wrong. For Sephardim, eating milk and fish is wrong. It's wrong. Tough luck. You like it, it's great. You want the lokshen and the, what's it called? The lox and the cream cheese, right? I also don't know what's in it. You know, even with Buddha, I wouldn't eat it. But okay, some people like, it's like, you know, they have to have it. You can't have it, can't have it. Tough. Ashkenazi can have it. They can enjoy it.
Why is it different?
Okay, Shulchan Aruch. It brings a. It's a makor. It's not a mistake. There are more things than mistakes. It's not a mistake. It has a makor in Rabbeinu Bechaya. It has a makor in Chazal.
Are there like Ashkenazi or like I'm going to be strict on this?
No, I don't think every person has to go by his own minhagim, and there's no reason for him to go to a different minhag. Everyone has to go by his own minhagim, unless you want to go by only that minhag, then you can go by only that. But everyone should go by his own minhagim.
You know. Everything is right in the right.
Now, what is another? Another isn't that you think of yourself as lowly. That's people who don't think highly of themselves are usually people who aren't modest. They are modest people. A person who realizes who he is and realizes the greatness in himself, but he realizes that what he has comes from his creator, that's another. Another is a person who's happy, a person who's full of life, a person who's even full of himself. Another is not this guy who's like walking around Nebuch. That's not an Anav. You will find, and I'm going to explain to you, here he says a very important thing. Listen to his words. V'kasher titnaheg b'midat ha'anava. When you accustom yourself to this midah of anava. Remember we do this, remember the starting point for us is speaking benachat, in a pleasant and slow way. Litboshesh mikol adam. To be embarrassed from a person. What do you mean embarrassed? I'm embarrassed. Like you're socially awkward. That's what an olive is. You're socially awkward. That makes you into an olive. No, it doesn't mean that. Ulitpached bimenu minached. And to fear him from the sin. What do you mean to fear him? Every person you're fearful of. What do you mean here? As tishra alecha ruach hashchina. Then you have the ruach of hashchina. You have a great powerful divine presence on you, right? V'ziv kvoda. And the radiance of his honor. V'chaye olam haba. And you live with chaye olam haba in this world. Now listen. V'ata b'ni da. And my son, no. Ure'e and see. Ki amit ga'e b'libo ala b'riot. Someone who's mitga'e. He is arrogant in his heart on other people. What does it mean, arrogance? Umored hu b'malchut shamayim. He's removing from himself the kingdom of heaven. Ki mitpa'e hu b'levush malchut shamayim. He's mitpa'e. He's, how do you say mitpa'e? He's beautifying himself with something which isn't relevant to him. With the levush of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Only Kodesh Baruch Hu can be mitpa'e. Only Kodesh Baruch Hu can be arrogant. Shenema Hashem Malach Geut Lavesh. A Kodesh Baruch Hu can wear the midah of arrogance. Ubama Yitgae Lev Ha'adam. In what way will a person, right? Yeah? How will a person be, in what way does a person have the right to be arrogant? In Ba'osha, because a rich man. Hashem mori shuma ashir. A person makes a Kodesh Baruch Hu makes you poor or rich. In becovered kimhu. If it's covered, a Kodesh Baruch Hu decides that as well. Shenema osher kodol fanech. That's in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He decides that. Ve'ech mitpeir bekvod konon. How can he beautify himself with the cover which is only shaykh to Kodesh Baruch Hu? V'mitpeir bechofma. He thinks he's such a big wise man, right? Misi safar neemanim. He can remove the safa, the speech of people who were trustworthy of him. The tams kenim yikach, and they're thinking of the wise. You can take nimsa kol shavei lefnei hamokim. Everyone's equal in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's eyes. Ki ba'apu mashpil ge'im. In his anger, he puts down the haughty. Uberetzonu magbiya shvalim, and he is with his rotzen, right? He lifts up shvalim. In other words, what he's telling you? When you're mitga'eh, he's angry with you. When you're an honor of you, doing his rotzen, and then he'll bring you up. Lachen hashpeil atzmecha v'itnesu'acha hamakom. Put yourself down, and Kodesh Baruch Hu will lift you up. What does it mean to put yourself down? We're saying it's not. Put yourself down. Humility is a function of honoring other people. The more you honor someone else, the more humble you are. Gaiva is when you honor yourself. The more you see the good in other people, it's also Ayin Tova, the more you see the good in other people, first of all, it has to come by seeing the good in you, by honoring yourself. If you don't honor yourself, you don't love yourself, you don't care for yourself, you don't see the goodness in yourself, you can't see in other people. And you can't do that if you're not loved. If you're not cared for, if you're not loved, if you're not nurtured, you can't. It's very hard to see the good in yourself. That takes a lot of work. Anava, therefore, has to be from a person who has very good self-concept. When you think well of yourself, you automatically think well and see good in other people. You see good in other people, you mechabit them. You mechabit them, they mechabit you. Because you are the source of their kavod. You're not doing it because you're mechabit them, you do because you really see. If you do, you go up to the guy and you say, ah, you're a great guy. We're so low in kavod that even that's good for us. But if a person does it to everyone in a way that he doesn't really think that way, you know, it's nice, but they don't feel it. When you really think highly of a person and you tell him that, and you give him real covered, you really think highly of them, and you really think highly of yourself. You realize you're wise, you realize you're kind, you realize you're a good person, you realize you're caring, you realize you're warm. Who gave it to you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's saying here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Osher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives wisdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives all these things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what another is. It didn't say if you're wise, think you're an idiot. If you're rich, think you're poor. It didn't say that. It said realize who it came from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you. That's what another means. But realize that you're rich. Realize that you're wise. Realize that you're kind. Realize that you're warm. Realize all the good midas that you have. Realize you have them. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them to you. That's all. That's another. But if you don't realize them, you're not going to see them in other people. If even in yourself you don't see the goodness, you're not going to see it in other people. Ayin hara is on yourself as well. If you have ayin hara on yourself, you're going to have it on other people. If you have ayin tova on yourself, you're going to have ayin tova on other people. Another is a function of self-concept. The more we think well of ourselves, the more we'll think well of other people. You'll find when you're depressed, what do you mean? You're negative over towards yourself. And when you're negative towards yourself, you see the whole world, even the good things you had. And a day you feel good and happy, and right? How do you feel then? You see everything's great. You with me? That's what it says, that's what he's telling us here. And the amazing thing about this Rambam, where does kas come from? Where does anger come from? Anger's negativity. Anger is, what's anger? Let's say, if I gave you some bundle to put on your back, I say, go up this high hill, and you don't know why you're doing it. You don't know why you're doing it, right? And I say, you have to take this very heavy bag up the hill. You get up the hill, and I say, bring it down again. Go up again, bring it down again. So, you know, I did it already once. And then I said, you have to do it another 30, 40 times. You don't know what you're doing it for. Eventually, you're going to get angry. You want to remove this bundle. You don't know what you're doing it for. If you don't have a purpose, you're going to get angry. If you don't know where you're going in life, you're going to get angry. Because life has these bundles on you. If you don't know why you're schlepping around this bundle for, you're going to be angry with it. You're going to want to remove it. You're going to not accept your life. You're going to be angry. When a person realizes here he's here for a purpose, and that purpose is hard to get, and a Kurish Baruch is going to give you bundles to carry, and you might not even realize at the time that you're carrying them that these bundles have a purpose, and don't try and get rid of them and accept them, you're not going to be angry. Speaking benachat means also, and that's what it does, means that you see you're at peace with yourself, you're at peace with your life, you're accepting of your life. When you're accepting of your life with all its bundles, and you don't try and uproot them, remove them, change them, you're not going to be angry. And then you're going to come to some level of another. Another is acceptance of who you are, acceptance of the people around you, acceptance of your environment, acceptance, but not only acceptance. Acceptance is a smaller level, but that's a high level for us. Honoring yourself. What does to honor mean? Give weight to your life. Weight means give meaning. The more a person sees meaning in himself, meaning in other people, meaning in the world around him, the more he gives cover to his life. The more you see tachlis in your life, the more you see importance in yourself, the more you can see importance in other people. The only way you can see importance in yourself is if the things that you have deep down in yourself, you're expressing them for some good purpose. That's the only way. Most of our problems stem from there. We're not expressing ourselves in a proper way. All of areas of that. But that's where anava comes from. All these things are related. You understand how they're related, yeah? Kavod is the same thing. You put weight on who you are. When you give kavod to yourself, you put weight on who you are. You don't think you're some like low-class guy or someone who just happens to be moving around. You're very, very important. Tzelem Elokim. You were created in God's image. Oh, there's plenty of Jews who were created in God's image. The whole world was created in God's image. Rabbi, come on, I'm one in how many billions? Well, why am I important? No. That's not what Chazal say. Chazal say, you look at yourself as if the whole world depended on you. You do one mitzvah, the whole world goes in favor. You do one avera. But yeah, okay, that's good, Rabbi, but I don't really believe that. How else really believe that? If we really believe that, there would be no problems doing avaras. If a person really thought that, we don't believe those things. Because we don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe that we're important. Our problem, this generation, right, we said Ekev, this generation, we have more gaiva. We think more haughtily. Why? Because we don't realize our value. We lost our value system. Also, part of the Industrial Revolution made everyone, everyone has the same iPod, the same clothing, the same thing. Just, you work in a factory, and everyone has the same car, and the same, so he has a white, if you're in Brooklyn, the same white BMW, right? Whatever it is, right? Yeah. But you are the same thing. If you're Haredi, everyone has a white shirt, and black trousers, or blue trousers, and, Borsalino hat, or whatever hat it is, right? It's enough for the commercials, right? You understand what I'm saying? We look the same. We think the same. We go to the same shiurim. We hear the same sort of teachings. You hear these teachings from one person. So then everyone has the same life. Then you have existential crisis. Why am I different? I'm different. What am I doing with my life? Why am I different? What's special about my life? The purpose of man is to find out his honor, his purpose, his importance. Until you do that, it's going to be a problem. You're not going to honor yourself, and you're not going to honor other people. You're not going to see other people's purpose. If you don't have purpose, you don't have a direction, you don't have a direct purpose to your personal life, you're not going to see it in other people. If life is meaningless, then other people are meaningless as well. If you all came from an ape, so he's an ape as well. He just, I'm older than him, so I, or I'm younger than him, so he's more of an ape than me. So why should you honor anyone? Why should you honor an ape? Why Johnson, the caveman, right? You're just a better version of the caveman. A few years' time, you know, robots are going to take over, or the iPods, or whatever, right? Or iPods are going to make you better, right? Or technology is going to make us better. There's no honor in that system. There can't be an honor for... Do you honor a giraffe? So why should you honor a human being? If that's all you are, as an animal. So you can be frightened of a strong animal or a clever animal, but it's not an honor. It's not a coveting. You don't give a weight to it. Or you respect power. That's not really a weight. You just have some sort of fear. But real honor comes from a human qualities of a person. The qualities of giving, the qualities of thinking, the qualities of creativity, of caring, you have choice, proper choice, free will. That's what a human being is. We have to give honor to what's human in us and focus on what's human in us and what's specifically human about us personally. You with me? That's another. We have to work on respecting ourselves, on thinking highly of ourselves, and realizing who we are and how important we are in this framework. As soon as we do that, we automatically... I know a certain rabbi I know. He's an ill person, very ill person. Someone told me his story that he's very, you know, he's a very, very big Talmid Chacham, big rabbi. He's a young man, Yachasif, a rabbi, he's young. And he's very ill, he has MS, this rabbi. And he was a teacher in a school, Sephardi rabbi. He was a teacher in a yeshiva ketana. He is still. And they were doing checks on him, if he had this disease or didn't have this disease. So they found out that he had it. And he came back to the yeshiva ketana, because all the talmidim were very, you know, very special rabbi. They all loved him. And they realized that they were gonna find out the checkup. He came back from the checkup and they told him. So he said, "I have good news." What's the good news? "I promised my creator that till 120 I'm gonna be happy in this world. The check, I have the disease, but I'm gonna be happy." That's his avodah. And he is such a smiling person. And he is such a happy man. And everyone loves him. And this guy, he can't walk. Everyone has to help him to walk with him. And like, he goes to yeshiva and people are like streaming to help him to walk. They love him. And you know, it's very simple. He respects who he is. He knows who he is. And he has full respect for other people. Real. Not tan. He thinks of you very highly. And he has real respect for you. You understand? That's an honor. And he's happy. He's not a sad person. He's a very happy person. That's an honor. You understand what an honor is? An honor isn't, if you see these guys, you know, they wear these shabby clothes and they look down. And we're going to see something here. It's going to seem that way, but it isn't that. Look down and like, you know, like, "Oh, you're speaking to me? Oh, I didn't realize you were speaking to me. I'm such an anav. You know, I didn't realize you're speaking to me. Why are you speaking to me? I'm so unimportant." That sort of thing. That's not anava. Anava, the people who are biggest anavs are the happy people in the world. The joyful people in the world. The people who honor everyone. Everyone likes being around them. Those are the big anav. That's an anav. Not the people who dig at people. You know, they say, "You have this, and you have this, and you have this, and you have this." They're not enough. That's gaiva. Because they're digging at themselves as well. There are times in life where life gets hard, and we're angry with life, and it's hard. And those are times where you have to work on yourself. It's not easy. Life's not easy. There'll be periods in time in life where we say, "This rabbi, you think it was easy for him? That he had this disease? He became a cripple. He was a young man. Right? It affects your brain as well. It wasn't easy. He made a decision. He was a strong personality. He made a decision that he's going to smile at his creator. He's going to laugh with his creator. Till 120. That decision he made, and he keeps it. Forget about Yisurim Ba'ava. That's also the Dawa of accepting bad things with Ava, because that means you know it came from him. No one else gave it to you. It means he knows why he's giving it to you. He's giving it for a good reason. You with me? We're not on that level. You know, we're not on that level. But we have to know where we can be. You understand what I'm saying? That's what he explains in Ava. Let me just finish it off now. Alkein, if afaresh lecha eich titneig b'midat anava. I'm going to explain to you how to be knowing with this midah of anava. Lelechet batamid, and to go with it always. Kol dvarecha yu benachat, like we said in the beginning. All your words be benachat. Nachat means peacefully, quietly, pleasantly. Nachat ruach. Voroshecha kafuf, and your head bowed out. It might seem like not what I was saying. And your eyes look down on the land, but your heart above. Don't look at a person when you're speaking to him. Everyone should be bigger than you in your eyes. What does it mean? I mean giving cover to people. If he's wise or ashir, give him honor. Im rashu, if he's poor, you're wiser than him or richer than him, you're more obligated than he is, and he's more meritorious than you. He's doing more with what he has than what you are doing, which is usually the case. If he does something wrong, he's shogeg because he doesn't have the kelim that you have. You might be more wise, you might have be richer, or whatever it is, you have more kalim, you have more, but you have more obligations with them. You understand how I'm saying you need to look? You're looking, this person in front of me, he's so much more important. You can only do that if you think of yourself as being important. When you think of yourself as being important, how do you think about yourself? Revolvi says, it's easy for a person to write down a list of bad things about him. I'm bad about this, I'm bad about this, I'm bad about this. It's very hard to say what's good about you. Why? Because if you say what's good about you, it means it obligates you. It obligates you to do a lot in life. And we don't like these obligations. It's enough to 613, why don't we take more? You with me? If you have a good head, you're clever. Oh, Rabbi, I'm not academically clever, but you're clever. But I'm not academically clever, Rabbi. What's a guy telling you? Leave off on Gemara. I don't want to learn Gemara. Let me just have an easy life. What, I have to work hard on this Aramaic? What, I have to work hard on trying to understand these sfaras? Leave me alone, Rabbi. He's clever. If he's clever, you know, you can work out this. That means you're clever, so you can work out Gemara. He's giving himself a tool. He's giving himself an exemption from life. You with me? That's what we do when we put ourselves down. We like it, you know? We like it. I'm a nebuch. You know, I'm a small guy. What can I do? What do you want from me? Nothing. I was not what I think. Leave me alone. Let me eat my schnitzel. That's what we're doing. Give cover to yourself. Realize what potential you have. Realize what weight you have in this world. You can change your whole world. Changing your whole world means it changes the world. That's what we know, the rippling effect we spoke about. That Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the story I told you once, remember? That's what we're about, changing yourself. You fall. You fall. We all fall. Get up. The difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, the tzaddik gets up. Tzaddik falls. You can fall many times, and you can fall deeply. A tzaddik gets up. Get up. Don't lie down. You're not a carcass. Get up. You with me? Shevi yipol tzaddik, Seven times the tzaddik falls, but come. A Rosh doesn't come. That's the difference. Because he doesn't believe in himself. And you shouldn't be a Rosh in your own eyes. Never look at yourself. That's the Yetzirah does. You're a Rosh, you're a no good, you're a thing. And people can affect you in that way. The bad people in the world tell you you're a Rosh. That's bad. That's wrong. You should never tell a person that. You should never look at a person in that way. And people who do that are very wrong. If you can't see the good in a person, you're wrong. And you should focus on the other person's good. Because when you focus on a person's good, you lift him up. He begins to believe in his own good. We're lowly. We're not lowly. We're ikvah the Mashiach, right? We're the heel. We're the low. But even us, we have tremendous good. We're going to bring on Mashiach. That's something that, you know, we're living in Eretz Yisrael. We're learning in Eretz Yisrael. Things that our forefathers only dreamed about. Yerushalayim. Kotel HaMaariv. We can go to Davos. We take a bus and we're there. You know? A Thursday night break. We go to the Kotel HaMaariv. We can Davos. Kever Rachel. Kever Dan. Kever Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Miron. Look at all these things we have. And free food we get when we go there as well. Right? Look how easy Kodesh Baruch Hu made for us. But we have to realize that our strengths and not to focus on our weaknesses and appreciate who we are and that we can do big things. And I want to tell you something. In all honesty, you guys can do big things in the world. You're probably the one person in your family, or the one of, the mute of your family, the minority of your family, who's actually saving your whole family. Some of you are marrying non-Jews, some of them this, some are even from. You know where they're going to go. You're going to have a nice family. You're going to bring up a generation of from Yidden. When I say from Yidden, not because they're from Yidden. People who are living life properly. And a serving Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know what that is? The effect. You're going to have Bezal Hashem, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I'm going to tell how many children. You're going to have a lot. Right? Not going to be one and a dog. Right? Or 2.2. I don't know how what the figures are, right? And next generation, another 5. Right? By the time you're going to be a great grandfather or something, right? You're going to have like, how many grandchildren, right? You're going to have to get a bigger house. Right? Think about it. And that's all going to come from you. You're 20-something years old. 20, right? Another 10, 15 years, you have 5 kids, 3 kids, I don't know how many kids, 6, 7, how many kids are you going to have, right? 20, 30 years, you'd be grandparents already. Think of that. Would you do it? You know, we don't think those things. And that kid is going to be brought up in a proper way because of what you're doing here in this yeshiva. That's an amazing thing. And it all depends on you. All those generations depend on you. That's not heavy, that's not weighted. You're talking about hundreds of people. It depends how many generations. Thousands of people. And they all came from you. That's amazing. Isn't it? We have to give ourselves more honor. We have to give ourselves... If I fail to myself, I'm failing to all the generations after me. I'm failing to my children. I'm failing to my grandchildren. I'm failing to my great-grandchildren. I'm failing to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I have to come back to who I really am and be who I really am. And you guys, Kafkazi, you have a big rabbi in the house. Who knows? If you're a Gilgal of him or whatever, he's there watching you in Shemayim. He's saying, you're in yeshiva? Good. Learn. Be who you can be. And the Amshinova, Be who you can be. All of you, I'm telling you, all of you have someone big there who's up there and he's pulling the threads for you. And he's going, you know, like, you know, protectia is? He's doing all the protectia there for you, that you in your shiva, and you're going to be learning, and you can meet the right people, and then you're going to have your trials and tribulations, but you're going to get out of them. And you're going to make your life special. You with me? If any of you guys don't make your life special, you failed to yourself. You haven't failed to anyone else. You failed to yourself. You didn't give yourself weight. You didn't believe in yourself. That's what we have to work on. Only from that comes another. Okay, we'll stop from here.